Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, September 23, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact. Douglas reports seventh death in 2 months. Champaign County's seven-day rate declines again. A man in his 60s became the seventh person to die of COVID-19 in Douglas County, Public Health Administrator Amanda Miner said. All of Douglas's fatalities have come in the past 2 months, with the first reported on July 23. 91 cases of Vermilion County's 547 cases are classified as active, with 86 isolating at home and 5 hospitalized. The county's seven-day rate remained 4.4%, nearly a percentage point higher than the state's 3.5. The U of I campus has now gone 13 days without a rate higher than 0.5%, after 10,474 new tests produced 42 new cases Monday. The U of I's seven-day rate remained unchanged at 0.3%. Of 7,178 new tests in Champaign County, 37 came back positive Tuesday, a rate of 0.5%. The county's seven-day positivity rate fell for the third straight day from 0.9% to 0.8%, while hospitalizations held at 4. Active cases by Champaign-Urbana zip code. 61820 Champaign, 174, down 1. 61822 Champaign, 28, down 4. 61801 Urbana, 27, down 2. 61821 Champaign, 18, down 5. 61802 Urbana, 11, up 1. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. Elective procedures. Don't delay mammograms, doctor urges. By Deborah Pressey, Champaign. Months after clinics and hospitals invited patients to return for elective medical procedures, there's one particular screening some women may be delaying too long. If you're due or overdue for a mammogram, consider getting it scheduled now, Christie Clinic oncologist Dr. Kathleen Nagel ordered. Elective procedures such as screenings and surgeries for non-life-threatening conditions were resumed in May after being placed on hold early in the COVID-19 pandemic. Mammograms are all important for catching breast cancer early, before it spreads to more advanced stages. Nagel said, "The impact of delayed mammograms won't likely be seen until next year," she said. But she fears it will be more breast cancers found in later stages and more deaths down the road. One national study done by the University of Massachusetts Medical School found dramatic decreases in the numbers of breast cancer screenings done in March, April, and May of this year compared to averages for those months last year. Nagel said some women may be continuing to delay mammograms because they still don't feel comfortable coming to healthcare screenings, despite precautions being taken to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Still others have been busy being caretakers for sick family members and may be neglecting their own health, she said. How often women in different age groups actually need mammograms isn't entirely clear, due to some conflicting guidelines. The American Cancer Society advises women should have the choice to begin mammograms at age 40, and that all women should begin having yearly mammograms by age 45, but can switch to having mammograms every other year starting at age 55. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force Task Force advises women at average risk for breast cancer should choose when to start mammograms prior to age 50, with women ages 45 to 49 getting annual mammograms and women at average risk ages 50 to 74 getting screened every other year. NAGEL advises annual mammograms starting at age 40. Most of us in oncology believe over the age of 40, every woman should have a mammogram done every year, she said. Whether women can delay that at all comes down to their own individual risk factors, NAGEL said. Women who have any breast cancer risk factors, among them a family or personal history of breast cancer, shouldn't delay. Nor should women seeing any signs or symptoms, including any noticeable breast changes. Anybody who finds anything on their breast should seek medical attention immediately, she said. For those afraid of coming to a medical facility during the pandemic, NAGEL said many safety measures have been put in place to make visits for mammograms and other medical visits safer. Among the precautions are requirements to wear a face mask, taking temperature, more cleaning in all patient areas, more spacing between appointment times and furniture rearrangements to create more physical spaces between waiting patients. It's safe to come back to the doctor, NAGEL said. The wait for a mammogram appointment at both Christie Clinic and Carle Health is running a couple of weeks, according to NAGEL and Carle spokeswoman Jamie Mullen. Carle is still working through some of the backlog from delays earlier in the year, Mullen said, but is encouraged to see women coming back for mammograms. Carle expects to see mammogram demand go up more in October, the annual National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as reminders in pink begin appearing, Mullen said. Return to in-person learning. Back to school? Decision day looms as Champaign-Urbana survey families. By Jeff D'Alessio, Urbana. No need to brief Jennifer Ivory Tatum on the latest Champaign County coronavirus case stats. As the head of a school district that must soon decide whether to stick to an all-remote learning plan or return students to school in some form for the first time since March, Urbana's superintendent is paying extra close attention to all the latest local metrics. I am monitoring the number of positive cases for Champaign County, the city of Urbana, both zip codes, the U of I, and neighboring school districts with students attending for in-person learning, Ivory Tatum said. In addition to new county cases and county test positivity percentages, I am also monitoring the number of youth cases in our county. In August, both the Urbana and Champaign school districts committed to all remote learning through the first quarter. With the second quarter for both set to commence October 19, it's nearing decision time. Unit 4 families should mark their calendars for Tuesday of next week. That's when Superintendent Susan Zola said she plans to update the school board on feedback from building-level working groups and surveys conducted of families from September 14 through 21. The district asked families about their readiness to return to in-person learning on an abbreviated schedule, or to remain on the current distance learning schedule through the end of the semester, Zola said Tuesday. Ivory Tatum said she's also putting a lot of stock into the results of surveys with staff, families, and students. She also reactivated the district's remote learning planning committees so members could be involved in the discussions ahead. Ivory Tatum plans to make an administrative recommendation on how the district should proceed at Urbana's October 6 school board meeting. University of Illinois. Campus labor leaders air virus concerns. by Ben Zichterman, Urbana. Campus labor leaders gathered Tuesday to criticize the University of Illinois administration, accusing it of ignoring workers' health and safety concerns. About 70 people attended the virtual town hall event. Administrators were invited to Tuesday's event but didn't attend. "We are outraged that no one from the admin has deigned to show up to listen to the concerns of workers, students, and the community," Graduate Employees Organization co-president Chelsea Birchmeyer said in a call made during the meeting to the provost's office. In an email to the GEO, Chancellor Robert Jones said the U of I had already answered many questions about its plan and its impact, citing mass emails, its COVID-19 website, a video briefing series, its testing dashboard, and meetings with the Academic Senate and its Executive Committee. "As we have said many times, we are focused on safety while continuing to fulfill our missions and innovating to help address the pandemic," Jones wrote. "We have worked to give as many people as possible the option of working or learning remotely, and we have implemented many measures to protect the safety of those who cannot be remote." U of I researchers developed a saliva-based test, which students are required to take twice a week, and they need proof of a recent negative test to get into campus buildings. Since students began moving in August 16, more than 300,000 tests have been administered, and more than 2,000 people on campus have tested positive, which exceeded modelers' expectations of about 700 cases this semester. Administrators attributed this to a handful of dorms and off-campus apartments, parties, and infectious students who were not following isolation protocols, which the modelers hadn't anticipated. In response to the spike in cases, Jones asked students to limit their activity for 2 weeks and launched an effort to contact people who test positive within 30 minutes. Since then, daily new cases have dropped from an average of more than 100 a day to about 25 a day. U of I senior Emily Williams, a former resident advisor, said she didn't feel safe working in the dorms and said RAs should be given hazard pay. "Walking through an entire building that may contain coronavirus on commonly touched surfaces and doorknobs is hazardous. Potentially interacting with residents who are confirmed positive cases or close contacts to the virus is also hazardous," she said. "Undoubtedly, RAs on the staff for these buildings are worried for their safety." Ed Dawson, a member of Service Employees International Union Local 73, said building service workers had to change shifts to clean and sanitize buildings that are being used by fewer people than usual. "It has created problems for some of the workers with daycare, after-school programs," he said. "They label us essential workers, but we're not essential enough to give us the hazard pay that we're looking for." Ask the admin, a daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. Question: is it unsafe to allow children to play on slides and climbing equipment in public areas? The park playgrounds have been open for a while and allow children to use equipment, yet a local daycare does not allow their children to play on it. Also, the children who are in attendance at area schools are not allowed to play on equipment. All these children do play together in open areas and are running and getting within 6 feet of each other. So what is the reasoning? Outdoor playground equipment can be used. However, children should wear face coverings if unable to maintain 6-foot distancing, and playground times should be staggered to allow one class in a playground space at one time. It also helps to limit the number of students to 50 or fewer. Children should wash hands prior to touching playground equipment and upon return from the playground. Daycares or schools may choose not to allow the use of playground equipment due to social distancing requirements. The CDC recommends that outdoor areas like playgrounds in schools and parks generally require normal routine cleaning, but do not require disinfection. High-touch surfaces made of plastic or metal, such as grab bars and railings, should be cleaned routinely. From the Our County section, Saturday, Champaign-Urbana Day of Prayer. We get to join together, and that is super pleasing to God. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. The coronavirus pandemic, civil unrest, gun violence, take your pick of issues troubling the community, the nation, and the world. The answer, say participants in an event coming up Saturday in Urbana, is prayer. Champaign-Urbana Day of Prayer will be an hour-long, non-denominational, and non-political hour of public prayer held from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Saturday in the Lincoln Square parking lot, in the area where the weekly farmers market is held. 9 area pastors will pray for the community, nation, and world at this event, which is being held in conjunction with a National Day of Prayer and Repentance on Saturday in Washington, D.C. This won't be just for pastors, though. Really, we're encouraging anyone to come, said the Reverend Diane Lehman, a founding pastor of the Vineyard Church in Urbana. We get to cry out to God, know that He hears us, and we actually believe there's power in prayer, that it does make a difference to pray, she said. Not only that, Lehman said, this will be people of all faiths joining together in prayer. We get to join together, and that is super pleasing to God, she said. David Lehmans of Champaign, one of the event's organizers, said they hope people from surrounding communities will also participate, not just those from Champaign-Urbana. Everyone says it's a national day of prayer, but we're focusing on repentance, he said. Lehman said repentance is often misunderstood. It's not wailing and beating the chest, she said. It means turning from unhealthy and wrong ways and readjusting how you are thinking and behaving, she said. What she calls on people to do before they react or respond, whether it's to something on social media or in public, is to step back, turn away from how they're seeing something, and call on the Holy Spirit to guide them, Lehman said. Faith Church Assistant Pastor Ethan Durst said there's much to pray about, and he plans to go and take part in this hour of prayer. What he personally sees in this effort? We're trying to get together to pray as a community and for the community and for the state and the nation, that all the wounds of this country will be healed. Early in-person voting starts Thursday. Champaign County residents' first chance to cast a vote for president in person comes at 8:30 a.m. Thursday, when early voting kicks off at Urbana's Brookins Administrative Center, 1776 East Washington Street. Voting will be done in the Brookins Gym, not the usual county clerk's office, to allow for social distancing. The early voting schedule, Thursday through October 18, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. weekdays, Brookins. October 19 to November 2, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays, Brookins. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays, and 1 to 5 p.m. Sundays, 11 sites around the county. Bird's Eye View, Tuscola. Just east of Tuscola High School are two expansive lots that harbor reasons for the town to feel mixed emotions about its economic health. On one sits Tuscola Outlet Shops, where occupancy has declined over the last few years. The other is the brand new Love's Truck Stop that's set to open in November, where excitement is building. Like most towns across the country, Tuscola's incoming revenue is down significantly, but City Administrator Drew Hole has reasons to feel optimistic. "We're just kind of weathering the storm like a lot of folks are," Hole said. "It's better than we anticipated, frankly. COVID has certainly been a hit. It's been an impact, as has been chronicled everywhere. It's certainly been a financial impact, but maybe not as bad as we initially thought, which I suppose is something resembling good news or a silver lining in the cloud." The fallout from COVID-19, Hole said, hit the outlet mall hard after vacancies were already up. The town is working on ways to incentivize redevelopment there. Just down I-57, the new truck stop is driving interest, even in difficult economic times. "We hope there's going to be some follow-on development there," he said. "There's about another 30 or 35 acres out there, so we hope there's some interest." Hole said the impact of COVID-19 on the city of Tuscola's general fund is projected to be around $250,000. The city, though, has the funds to make it through difficult times. And beyond Love's, he said, the town has had significant interest in investment. "We'll try to rely on our reserves for a couple of years, and hopefully this thing will turn around," he said. "We hope to see a decent spike from the truck stop in sales tax revenue, and hopefully that'll right the ship a little bit. We've had years and years of strong financial performance, so we're probably in better shape to weather this storm than a lot of municipalities. So it hasn't had a huge impact on our operations." That article by Anthony Zillis. For now, mascot not on U of I's agenda. Two votes have now been cast in support of adopting the belted kingfisher as the official mascot of the University of Illinois. But the voices that matter most on this issue, from Chancellor Robert Jones and U of I trustees, have no immediate plans to take up the issue that had fans on both sides buzzing Tuesday. "There is no process in place to choose a new mascot," campus spokeswoman Robin Kaler said in the aftermath of the Academic Senate's 105-2 vote. "Resolutions from the Academic Senate are shared with the university administration and the Board of Trustees, but they are advisory only." Jay Simpson, Jay's Take: Don't tackle mental health issues alone. Mental health affects people in various ways. Some people are better at dealing with it than others. It's a topic that I believe should be discussed more because a lot of people suffer from it. It is nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. It's life. As long as a person is taking the necessary steps to get help and better themselves, then there's no problem. The problem occurs when a person knows they have an issue but refuses to seek help because of how people may view them. Trying to deal with it on your own is the worst thing you can do, from my experience. I remember trying to deal with all of my mental breakdowns alone, and it just made everything worse because I didn't have the answers. I couldn't control my actions or thoughts and was heading down a really dark path, all because I refused to get help because I didn't want to be labeled crazy or anything of the sort. People loved me for who I was on the outside, and I didn't want to jeopardize that if they found out what I was dealing with on the inside. I was very insecure about it. But that's how it normally goes. The people who seem the coolest and unfazed are usually the ones dealing with it the most. But they put on this front like their life is peaches, when in reality they're hurting deep down and feel very alone. After you've been dealing with mental health for so long, you find ways to take your mind off it temporarily, but it never goes away completely until you get the right help. Don't be ashamed. Take care of yourself and get help. Mental health is a serious issue, and society makes people think they're crazy if they deal with it. Society is wrong. If it's not dealt with in enough time, you could be out of time. It can drive you to do some things you would never imagine yourself doing if not helped, and I don't wish that on anyone. I'm speaking to anyone suffering from mental health. You are not alone. I'm with you all, and I understand what you're going through on a daily basis. I'm encouraging you to seek help. Be completely honest with whoever is helping you so that they can help you come up with the best solution to your issues. Embrace it, get better, and realize you can be a help to someone suffering from it just as you were. Much love, Jay Simpson. Champaign County Circuit Clerk, amnesty for late fees on court costs going on through October 2. Program being offered for fourth straight year waives interest, collection costs, by Mary Schenk Urbana. The Champaign County Circuit Clerk is offering a break to people convicted of traffic or criminal offenses who are late paying their fines and fees. Katie Blakeman said, defendants can take advantage of an amnesty program now through October 2 to avoid interest and collection fees. Customers with traffic, DUI, or criminal fines may come to the clerk's office at the courthouse on Main Street in downtown Urbana between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. to pay in person. They may also request an amount online through the clerk's website, ChampaignCircuitClerk.com, then use a reference number provided to pay online. Individuals may qualify to get driving privileges reinstated when they pay all of their overdue traffic fines in full, she said. New this year is the ability to ask online for quotes on what is owed and then make payments online. Customers who take advantage of the program may save up to 30%. For example, a misdemeanor defendant may have been ordered to pay a $200 fine and $500 in court costs. If the costs had not been paid by the date ordered by the judge, the defendant might accrue another $300 in late and collection fees. For the 2 weeks of the amnesty program, the $300 will be waived if an individual pays off the entire original amount. No partial payments will be accepted during the amnesty programs. All fees and fines must be paid in full. If you were paying in person, you may do so by cash, cashier's check, money order, or credit card debt, or credit or debit card with a valid government photo ID. By mail, only a cashier's check or money order will be accepted, and they must be postmarked by October 2. Fines and fees can be paid online with a credit or debit card and must include the reference number included with your online quote. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, September 23, 2020. Please stay tuned.